more time.
Throw that thing, Biggie.
Skies.
Welcome to Montucky Skies. I'm Biggs.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Bruce Valanche.
And I'm Brent.
Who the fuck is Bruce Valanche?
He's a longtime writer of the Oscars, or one of the head writers of the Oscars.
Okay, so we got two big things to hit. I seriously doubt we'll have time for anything else. So we're going to do, just like last year, we're going to ballot out every single Oscar pick. We're going to rank them out 1 through 5. This is a thing that you can do through the Myrna Loy, right?
That's right.
How much does it cost?
$2.
$2. So it's pretty cheap. And what do you win?
And you win a free 10 film pass for first place, which is 10 films. We value it at $65. And the runner up gets 2 film tickets and 2 popcorn coupons.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So I still got something to play for.
That's right. There's like, prizes involved.
Yeah, because if I win, I can take a friend to my movies.
Uh-huh.
And if I get the popcorn pass, then I get free popcorn, because I always pay for stuff at the Loy.
That's right. You do it out of the goodness of your heart, and yeah, we appreciate it.
But I do take the free movies because I am a reviewer.
Yes.
And that podcast is the most work of all my podcasts. So actually,
so damn it, there's a payoff.
That's right. Okay, so we're going to talk about Spider-Man. How much we talk about it depends on how long it takes us to get through this ballot. So
yes,
bear with us. All right. So you go ahead, Zach.
All righty. So we're going to start off with Best Picture. And again, the one you think is most likely to win, rank number 1 and rank them 1 through 5. So there's 8 nominees. So you'll have 3 unranked films.
Now, do we write this in the little circle?
You can write it wherever you want, as long as it's clear which number goes where.
Okay, so I am going to go, I'm going to say number 1, it's got to be Birdman. It's been winning all these awards. It was nominated for the most stuff. I just feel like it's got the highest likelihood that it'll win. For number 2, I'm going to throw in Whiplash. I just think, because it's also about the arts, I think a lot of people are going to, they're definitely going to gravitate towards this movie. I don't think enough to win, but you never know if it gets enough second place votes in the Oscar ballot.
It could slip through.
It very well could win, so that's why I'm putting it number 2. Number 3, I'm going to put Selma, because I do think that there might be a backlash for it being underly nominated.
And now a lot of the voters have seen it who didn't before.
Yeah, and so I'd put that there. Number 4, I'm going to go The Imitation Game. It's a great movie. It's got that great twist where you find out about his sexual orientation, which I think a lot of people didn't know, myself included. I like the way they did it. And then number 5, I would put Boyhood. And actually, for various reasons, I could see any of these 5 winning. Just as I said, I think, you know, that
there's a case to be made for all of them.
Yeah. The other ones, I don't really think so. But we'll see.
Yeah. I have in my 1 slot Birdman, unsurprisingly. In my 2, I have Boyhood. There just seems to be a fascination with this movie, and it would not shock me to see the Academy fall over backwards for it. 3, I have Selma, for essentially the same reasons as Biggs. 4, I have Whiplash, for essentially the same reasons as Biggs. And 5, I have American Sniper, because It's done gangbusters at the box office, and every now and then the Oscars like to pick something a little more populist. So I threw it in there as the dark horse.
Okay, I have Birdman as number 1 too. It's for all the reasons that have been said. It's just, and I haven't seen it, but it's everything I've heard. I would rank it there. I have 2 for Selma. I just think that there's just that white guilt in the Oscars that's there is just, it's going to have to push that up. 3, Whiplash. 4, Boyhood. I do think it's among the top 5. And number 5, I'm actually going to slate in the Grand Budapest Hotel.
I like it. That is the most nominated Wes Anderson movie in his career.
Yeah.
So
has he won anything?
I think he's won a screenplay at some point.
Okay.
But I couldn't remember which one for.
And my number one goes to Birdman also. I don't know. I think it's definitely going to win. Probably my biggest pick. Number two, I also picked Selma. I think that just the political timing of it and Oprah Winfrey is, you know, going to help put it over, potentially. Three, I picked American Sniper because Americans love war movies. And, you know, I could see the Clint Eastwood thing happening with it, and it's made a lot of money. And
yeah, I'm going to go with the amount of money doesn't matter, and the Academy voters don't like war movies.
That's not true. What about
Zero Dark Thirty?
And
Zero Dark Thirty got Best Picture, but not Best Director, and it didn't win anything.
No, what if the bomb defusing
Hurt Locker?
Hurt Locker,
yeah. But I think that was more a reaction to how good Catherine Bigelow was.
Well, I'm honestly just saying, like, war movies. Like,
yeah, I just, I disagree with you that war the movies, like war movies.
I think the voters,
I think there are times that they do. I don't think we're on one of those.
See,
times.
I'm sort of in between. I think the voters like but don't love war movies, because war movies always seem to do well in nominations, but very rarely do they close.
I mean, one of the biggest ones. I agree with you. The World War II movie,
Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan losing Best Picture.
I mean, there were two of them that year, Saving Private Ryan and Thin Red Line.
Yep.
So now we're into Best Actor in a leading role.
Okay. So number one, I got Michael Keaton. Until I see something that indicates to me that he's not going to win, I'm just putting him up there. He's also in that sweet spot where he's playing an actor, and it's self-referential, and it's referencing superhero movies, which have taken over Hollywood. And it's just so much about acting. I think he's going to win along with Best Picture. Number two, I got Bradley Cooper because, dude, he is incredible in that movie. Now, as for everything I said about war movies, like, I don't think performances is necessarily disincluding. Like, Bradley Cooper, this is his third straight nomination, which is incredible. I mean, have any actors ever done that three straight years? I thought I read this was the first time, but I feel like it must have happened.
No, Russell Crowe did it.
Okay. So it was like the first time since Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
Now I think Tom Hanks got
three Tom Hanks
straight,
did it as
he
well.
He won two straight, and then he lost for Apollo 13, yep. I think. Okay. Number three, I'm going to go Benedict Cumberbatch. Number four, Eddie Redmayne. And number five, Steve Carell. Like, a lot of years I would put Steve Carell towards the top, but I just... Those first three are such powerhouses, man. I think Steve Carell, just by being nominated, it's kind of the show us nomination. Like, we'll hand you some hardware, but you got to show us and prove it first. Like, he showed them. Now he's got to prove it in the next one. Okay, so, Zach.
I've got Keaton 1. I've got Redmayne 2, just because of the flashiness of it. Like, you can never count out a super flashy role. I've got Cumberbatch 3 because everybody loves Cumberbatch. I've got Carell 4 and I have Bradley Cooper 5. And really, I could have put, outside of Keaton, I could have put them in any order. It was really just a matter of, like, once I had the first three taken down, those were the two left. And I just went with my gut because I have a feeling it's not going to get to that point anyway.
Okay, I had Michael Keaton 1, Bradley Cooper 2. I just think there's a lot of love for him going around right now. So, I mean, there's a strong case to be made. Eddie Redmayne, I had 3. I would put him higher, but I just don't see him having the Oscar buzz around him that I think would be deserving of a winner on that at this point. I think his acting in that movie was phenomenal. And, you know, there's a scene in there where he just, like, pops out of and goes and talks to somebody in the audience. And just some of that interaction where he goes from the fully disabled Stephen Hawking to a fully able person and then right back into the Stephen Hawking character without any cutaways that are really noticeable. It's really a great stretch. Benedict Cumberbatch 4 and then Steve Carell 5, and those are just because I don't have any love or hate anyway on those. So,
all right, I picked number one is Michael Keaton. I think he's probably going to win.
Did he sweep the four of us?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Number two, Bradley Cooper. Number three, I picked Steve Carell, but I don't think it necessarily matters. But four is Benedict Cumberbatch, and then five with Eddie Redmayne. Although, with
the theory of everything.
Yeah. I mean, his performance was really good. I just don't know that, you know, I just kind of put it last on the list, I guess.
Yeah, he doesn't speak a lot of his dialogue. He loses points for that. Okay, so performance by an actor in a supporting role. To me, this is the most sure thing of any sure thing. J.K. Simmons. I have not talked to a single person who's seen that movie who doesn't think J.K. Yep. Simmons is going to win. Everything I've read has indicated that J.K. Simmons is the front runner. Number two, I'm going to go Robert Duvall. Now, Robert Duvall was good, as I admitted, but not good enough to be number two. However, there's a lot of old farts in the Oscar who are going to gather together to try and give Duvall one last Oscar. So I'm going to put him number two. Three, four, and five, dude. You could really go any order in likelihood for me. I went Ruffalo, Hawk, and then Norton. I went Ruffalo, Norton, and then Hawk. But honestly, I think the three of those have the same likelihood of winning, which is none. So,
yeah. I have Simmons 1, Norton 2, Hawk 3, Mark Ruffalo 4, and Duvall 5. But really, it's J.K. Simmons 1 and The Field 2.
Yeah. I'm with you there.
Yeah.
I just think, but like, who knows if there's enough old farts.
Yeah. I mean, you never.
I would give a 2% chance to Duvall and a 98% chance to J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
That's where I'm sitting.
All right. I had J.K. Simmons one. I mean, there's no way anybody else has a chance on this. I put Edward Norton two. I'm with Zach on that one. Robert Duvall three, Ethan Hawke four, and Mark Ruffalo five.
I am definitely the oddball out here. I put Ethan Hawke number one for Boyhood. Number two, Edward Norton. Three, Mark Ruffalo. Four, Robert Duvall. And five, J.K. Simmons. But I haven't seen Whiplash, so.
Okay, now we got performance by an actress in a leading role. Okay, so here's the thing. I got Julianne Moore number one for Still Alice, and she's incredible in it, but not nearly as incredible as my second place vote, but my first place in my heart, Rosamund Pike. Mm-hmm. And I could see a chance that Rosamund Pike wins it, but it just feels like because Julianne Moore hasn't won yet, and her performance is really good, I think that she's going to wind up winning this. But I think Rosamund Pike was better. I know she was better. And that's no knock on Julianne Moore, but Julianne Moore's got that history of being nominated and not winning. I think this is the one where they hand it to her. There's just so much momentum for her. Number three, I got Reese Witherspoon. Four, I got Felicity Jones. And five, I got Marina Cotillard, which I got to admit, I haven't seen. Out of all the major ones, it's the only movie I haven't seen 2 days, one night. I just couldn't bring myself to watch it. I know I promised I'd review something today, which I do have a movie if we have time, but it's not an Oscar movie, dude. I've had it with the depression. You know? I'm done with researching this. Yeah, I've tapped out, so. I'm putting her at five, but it's also like a foreign language film. And so I kind of have a hard time believing they're going to hand the trophy to a foreign language. I think a lot of people just didn't even watch the screener. I'm going to mm-hmm. bet on.
I have Julianne Moore one, Reese Witherspoon two, because A, I think she's really, really good in that movie.
She is.
B, it seems to have captured a small but very loyal fan base. And three, everybody loves Reese Witherspoon. Like, everyone in Hollywood loves her. I have Felicity Jones 3, Marion Cotillard 4, and I have Rosamund Pike 5. Through nothing related to her, I just get the sense that nobody in the Oscars likes Gone Girl. So
they must really have a thing against Ben Affleck.
Yeah. So I just went ahead and put her 5 because I cannot see them rewarding Gone Girl.
It's sound reasoning. Mm-hmm. It is sound reasoning, but God, she's incredible in that movie. She's
phenomenal in it. Yeah. No question.
So I did watch Gone Girl this week. So
what'd you think?
It was interesting. It's one of those things I think I've heard too much about it to really enjoy.
I heard nothing about it, so I didn't know what I was getting into. You probably knew every twist and turn.
No, I didn't, but just like, it's one of those things like, oh, it's so good, it's so good, and then I'm watching it, and it was entertaining, and there was, I really enjoyed it all the way through. It just didn't feel like it was up to what I was hoping for going into it.
All right. Well, maybe you're a typical Oscar voter.
So, my list, I have Julianne Moore, just the buzz I've heard, 1. Rosamund Pike, 2. I did think her performance was outstanding in that movie. And you just hated her by the end of that movie.
Yeah. To put it lightly. My wife was going to pull one of those, see, that's what happens when you have an affair kind of things with that movie. I could tell from the look on her face. And then the movie kept going for another hour. And by the end of it, like, I was like, I saw the look of what you were going to say. And she laughed and she was like, yeah.
If that was what happened when people had an affair, we would have stopped having affairs sometimes in the 1800s.
Well, when the look stopped happening was when you find out what she's really up to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how far she really takes that.
Dude, she is crazy.
No, I love it.
So, let's see. Rosamund Pike, 2. Reese Witherspoon, 3. Felicity Jones, 4. And Marion Cotillard, 5.
I picked Felicity Jones, 1, for the theory about everything. Julianne Moore, 2. Rosamund Pike, 3. Marion Cotillard, 4. And Reese Witherspoon, 5. I don't think Reese has it in for it, so...
Okay, performance by an actress in a supporting role. I got Patricia Arquette, 1, in Boyhood. She's great in that.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that she stuck with it for so long, I think that they're going to want to hand it to her. Not to mention, like, am I crazy in thinking this is the best she's ever been in a movie? And that it took so long to do. You could have taken just about any section of that, and I'd think she was having her best performance of her career. So,
You didn't think Stigmata was the outbreak of her career? Nah.
No. The performance of her career. That was definitely like, I don't know. That was what got the most breakout eyeballs on her. Yeah, for sure. 2, I got Emma Stone. She's just great in it. Good up and comer. I could see her kind of bucking the trend, but I really think it'll be Patricia. 3, and this kills me to fucking say it because I'm not in love with this performance at all, but Keira Knightley. I could see her 3 because she's got a British accent, and the other two are so dog shit bad. Like in these movies, Laura Dern at 4. It is insane that she was up in this field, and I'll just leave it at that. Like, these last three are awful. Absolutely awful. So, yeah, I got Laura Dern 4, and 5, Meryl Streep. And I do think there's a real fatigue with Meryl Streep at this point. Like, I think they love her enough to nominate her, but not love her enough to give her an Oscar again anytime soon. I don't know, dude. But maybe that's just my fatigue. I could definitely see that. So.
I've got a Patricia Arquette 1 because she's the obvious front runner. Everyone who talks about Boyhood, especially now with the passage of time, she seems to be the cast member who really stuck with most people. Emma Stone, I have 2 because I think she's a very deserving candidate. I think the thing holding her back from being the front runner is her age. Meryl Streep, I have 3. Now, I do agree with you, Biggs, that there's fatigue with Meryl Streep. However, simply...
The other two are dog shit.
Well, I was going to say... much like the Red Wings making the playoffs, like, until they prove to me they can't do it, I'm not going to root against it. And simply by virtue of being Meryl Streep, I have to give her a chance. Like, just her name. I've got... At 4, Keira Knightley. 5, Laura Dunn, because they're not going to win. And at 6, I have Carmen Ejogo, who played Coretta Scott King in Selma.
Oh, you saw Selma.
Because I am not willing to rule out her coming in WWE style and, like, taking a chair to the back of whoever wins.
That would be worth watching. Or
that would be the greatest Oscars.
Or just Coretta Scott King shows up to the Oscar and everybody looks nervous and bolts for the ballots and, like, does a write-in. They're like, well, we've never had this happen
just, like,
before.
Take the envelope and just Sharpie.
Scribble in. I'm not willing to rule those out.
All right. I have Patricia Arquette 1, Keira Knightley 2, Emma Stone 3, Laura Dern, and then Meryl Streep 5. I just don't like Meryl Streep. Can't do it.
I'm about the same. Patricia Arquette, number 1. Keira Knightley, 2. Emma Stone, 3. I really liked her in Birdman. And then Meryl Streep, 4. And Laura Dern, 5.
Okay, so I have a quick suggestion before we go on this further. We have 4 more categories for, like, animated, cinematography, costume design, directing. After we go through that, do you guys just want to pick our number ones?
Agreed.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we can fill out the rest later. It does not need to be on air.
Yeah,
stuff.
And I don't know how interesting.
Do you want to do the writing ones as well?
Like our order?
No, I mean the screenplay awards.
No, I want to do everything. I just want to pick our number ones.
No, I meant, do you want to rank the screenplay awards is what I'm asking, just because those are usually considered part of the big ones.
Yeah, okay, so we'll also include screenplay in that then. That's a good idea.
Cool.
Okay, so we're on Best Animated Feature Film of the Year, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I have number one, Song of the Sea. I've not seen it. I've not heard any buzz about any of these movies, so here's my logic. It looked really, really artsy. Number 2 is The Tale of Princess Kaguya, whatever. Because that also looked kind of artsy when I looked at the trailers for those. I was unable to find those movies. Number 3, I'm going to put The Box Trolls, which is utter dog shit. And no matter how bad the other two are, it should be number 5. But I just have a feeling because it's British, it's going to get number 3. I'm voting for this like it's the Globes. Number 4, I got Big Hero 6. And number 5, I got How to Train Your Dragon 2. Because I don't think they're going to pull a Golden Globes on this one. So
I agree. I have Song of the Sea 1 and Tale of Princess Kaguya 2. Because I feel like this is one of those years where nothing from the standard Hollywood fare really grabbed them. I mean, obviously it should be Lego Movie, but is that not an option?
It's too late.
I've got Big Hero 6 number 3 because at this point I won't put Marvel out of the running for anything. I have How to Train Your Dragon 2 number 4 because I assume it's not Wretched. And I have Box Trolls number 5 because I assume it is Wretched.
It is. You assume correctly.
Yeah. I sort of got the impression I might be right on that one.
Dude, and I love Nick Frost, so it pains me to say it, but it's fucking garbage.
Okay. I have How to Train Your Dragon 2 1. I think they're totally going to Golden Globe this. They love death in the Oscars. So
is that what's in this movie?
Stoic dies, so.
I don't know who that is. I haven't
that's
seen
the big father figure. The mother comes back, father dies. There's a lot going on. That's where they're going to go with this one.
Okay.
It doesn't deserve it, but that's where they're going with this
one.
No,
fair enough.
Big Hero 6, 2. Box Trolls 3. I don't know. it's just one of those things that's people like it, and then, or people that have power like it, but they shouldn't. Number 4, Song of the Sea, and 5, Tale of Princess Kaguya. I just...
So far, we have 3 different pronunciations. I'm curious how Brent's going to pronounce it.
The Oscars hate Japanese movies.
Do they?
It seems like every time I can, like, honestly think of it, they nominate...
The only thing they liked was Princess Mononoke, and that they didn't give the nod to that at all.
No, they don't like Japanese movies at all.
To be fair, I did put them number 2.
My number 1, I picked Box Trolls just because the animation style is very stylized. Probably not a good movie, but I think the style of animation will help push it over. 2, Song of the Sea. 3, Big Hero 6, but I don't think they'll give a nod to it at all. 4, The Tale of Princess Kaguya, and How to Train Your Dragon, number 5.
Okay, so achievement and cinematography. I toss and turn trying to figure out this one because I feel like it's Grand Budapest Hotel or Birdman's. In the end, I went Grand Budapest Hotel. I went with my favorite because it was almost like toss a coin, so I figured I'd go with my favorite since I couldn't decide. So that puts Birdman number 2. Ida number 3 because it's got that, for all the reasons we talked about in the podcast before. I'm not going to go into it again. Now, I've not seen Mr. Turner, so I'm just going out on a limb here, but I put it number 4 because I saw Unbroken, and I feel like it was just the easy thing to write in there, and you said like he's a respected cinematographer, right? So I almost feel like that's the reason why it got the nod, because I watched it, dude. I was not impressed with the cinematography. It wasn't like it wasn't Oscar worthy.
I have a theory about that, but now is not the time or place to discuss it.
Okay.
But remind me next time we talk about Unbroken.
It's your turn, so.
I've got Birdman 1. It seemed just the amount of positive buzz about the cinematography in that is running for it. The one thing that makes me uneasy about having it ranked number 1 is that Emmanuel Lubezki won last year. And I have a really hard time seeing him win 2 years in a row. But if it's going to happen, Birdman's the kind of movie that I think it would happen for.
Yeah, those two are both incredible.
Yep. And I've got Grand Budapest number 2 because, like you, that's sort of a neck and neck race. I have Eden number 3. I have Unbroken 4 just because regardless of sort of the quality, especially relative to Roger Deakins' other work of the cinematography, he's a guy I always root for to get his. And so I'm putting him 4 just on the odd chance that they decide this is his year. And I have Mr. Turner 5 because I have a real hard time envisioning it beating any of the top 3.
Yeah.
Okay. I went with Biggs on the Grand Budapest Hotel being 1. I just like how I saw that movie. You know, and it's just so much, there's so much contrast you see in that, and everything is just framed so well. You know, it's that Wes Anderson framing that he's noted for, but
I'm thinking everything more and more is, that he's OCD as I'm watching this like after this one.
Just, I have to give Grand Budapest. I have Birdman 2, Ida 3, Mr. Turner 4, and Unbroken 5. Unbroken, just, it doesn't look that great just watching the trailers.
Mm-mm.
So.
I gave Birdman number 1 just because I absolutely loved the cinematography in that movie, and I raved about it for weeks to anyone who'd listen. Grand Budapest Hotel number 2. Unbroken 3, Ida 4, and Mr. Turner 5.
Okay, so next we got achievement and costume design. Actually, this is one, if you don't mind, I'd just like to put a first place vote on.
Fine with me.
This category bores me. So, not seeing several of these movies, I'm just going to go Grand Budapest number 1 because it's that classical style that Oscar voters love voting for.
I have the same one.
Yeah, and is it for the same reason? Like, it's the kind of costumes
that Oscars love to vote for. Yeah, it's flashy, they're colorful, they're very unique, they fit the world very well. Like, it basically ticks off every box on the criteria list.
It's of that period of a period piece that Oscars love to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're like Genghis Khan style period, no.
You're not going to win.
Yeah.
If you're Victorian England, now you're going to win.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go with Into the Woods on this one. Not having seen it, I think they're going to try and go something different on this one.
If we had ranked them all out, that's what I would have had number 2, because it's flashy stuff. It's musical theater, which generally plays well with the costume and set designers. There are a lot of really interesting costumes. There are a lot of like classical, just aesthetically pleasing costumes. It's a very logical winner.
Well, thank you for making my argument for me.
Happy to help.
And I also went with Into the Woods as well for the number 1. Just the different Disney set pieces set together with that. So.
Okay. So now we are doing achievement in directing. Okay, guys. So here's the thing. The logical thing would be that the best picture would get the best director, typically. But I don't think that's the way the Oscar voters swing anymore. We've had two straight years where it's been a split. I think this is a thing now, and I think this is a thing where Oscar voters are like, I like these two movies. I'll reward this one, and for different reasons, I'll hand it to the other one. So I think Boyhood is going to give an Oscar to Richard Linklater for two reasons. The first reason is just the achievement of taking so long to make this movie and sticking with it. I think that thing alone has staying power for everybody. I don't think it'll launch it to Best Picture, but I think this is where, in addition to giving Patricia Arquette that medal, I think that they're gonna hand it to him in this one. And then at number two, I got Birdman because I think it'll be Best Picture. Number three, I'll go Grand Budapest because I think they might like Wes Anderson, and there'll be a loyal little segment that does vote for him. Number four, I got The Imitation Game for reasons I gave earlier. And number five, I got Foxcatcher because, dude, it wasn't even up for Best Picture. Like, it's just clearly not going to win.
I have Birdman number one, partially as a bet hedge in that, much like you, I've noticed the trend of the Best Picture and Best Director winning being a split. And so I picked Birdman on the chance that I'm wrong about it winning Best Picture. And I also think there's some level of chance that the Academy goes back to the regular this year. And if I do that, so basically I'm sort of giving myself, out of the three options I see happening, I'm giving myself a chance to win on two of them. I've got Boyhood number two for all the reasons anybody needs to mention.
Did I happen to say, I also think because people watched Richard Linklater over the years and got inspired by him, did I say that out loud?
That might have been in your head.
Yeah, that's definitely in your head sort of thing.
That's another thing. I think like with Slacker and the all just...
Yeah, he's inspired a lot of great filmmakers.
Yeah, a lot of his movies I think were... like change the way filmmaking is.
Absolutely. So
that's the other reason why.
And he'd be a very deserving winner.
Yeah, I'm sorry for speaking out of turn.
No, that's fine.
I had to get that out.
Budapest Hotel, I've got number three. Morton Tilden for Imitation Game, number four. And again, Foxcatcher, five. Because if your movie wasn't nominated for Best Picture, you're not going to win Best Director.
Yeah.
Because if they thought you were the Best Director, your movie would have been nominated for Best Picture.
Or so they say. Okay, I have the exact same list Biggs had. I had Boyhood number one. I think the narrative of this, like how this movie was made, is just going to push that over the limit. I have Birdman number two. I just think if it's not Boyhood, this is the one that's going to be number two. Number three is Grand Budapest, four Imitation Game, and five Foxcatcher.
That was actually my same list, too.
Wow. Boy, what's the odds that three of us would pick the same list? That's
and crazy. I was only off by one from you guys.
So. And you were just hedging your bet.
Exactly. I was just I would have gone the exact same way if I wasn't bet hedging.
By the way, can I just... So we talked about Foxcatcher. Wouldn't it have been better to put Whiplash in this spot?
Honest to God, this is something I want to get on my high horse about. When I was sort of looking at who I thought the best director nominees would be, well, one, I thought Ava DuVernay would be in there.
Yes.
For what did she do?
Selma.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Secondly, I thought that if it wasn't going to be her in that fifth slot, I really thought it would be Damien Chazelle for Whiplash for the same reason that Ben Zeitlin got nominated for Beasts of the Southern Wild. I really thought that the Academy was going to start to do something where they would essentially reserve one of those nominations for a young upstart as basically like a carrot to be like, hey, look, you got a nomination. Now let's see what you do next. And I was apparently misguided on that because Bennett Miller got in somehow, which he's, again, very deserving candidate,
great movie,
but probably the sixth or seventh choice if it was up to me.
Yeah, I would say maybe... eighth.
That's fair.
Because I would also I would put in the Selma one, like you said. I put in Whiplash. Another one that I totally would have put in there that didn't make it was I forgot.
Do you remember the movie?
No.
Okay.
Or I would have said.
Was it nominated for Best Picture?
No, it wasn't. That's why I got confused.
Maybe Fincher for Gone Girl? Is that who you were thinking?
Oh, he should have been on there too.
Damn right he should.
God damn it, dude. All right, let's move on. Who did everybody read this?
Yep. Because we almost had all the same list.
Zach, I need your help here. If you know anything, if anybody knows anything about the best documentaries, anything
I've
at
got
all,
a winner because I've seen one of them. So that's the one I picked number one. But I also have reasons for it being number one.
Okay, what movie was it?
Finding Vivian Maier.
Okay, what's it about?
It is about... So John Maloof, one of the producers who would win if they won, he bought at an auction basically this big selection of photographs by this woman named Vivian Maier.
Oh, I've heard. You talked about
this. Yeah, Vivian Maier, she lived in big cities, New York, Chicago, San Francisco, around the country in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and a little bit of the 60s.
Big eyes?
No, sadly, no. She did still life photography, but she was one of the first people to like really go out to all people on the street. Like she would photograph people no matter what the race, no matter what their class was. She was just interested in sort of the day-to-day lives of these people in the city. What I really think will sell Oscar voters on it is that it's about this woman's body of work being discovered after her death, and now she's celebrated as one of the great photographers of her era. And I think that sort of speaks to a desire that a lot of Academy members will have, that after they're gone, their work will be sort of re-brought to the forefront or unearthed, and they will be sort of recognized for the talent they feel they are. I think that's something that that would speak to a lot of artists.
Okay. Do we know anything about any of these other movies?
I know about Citizen Four.
All right, what's it about?
Citizen Four is about so it's about Edward Snowden.
Mm-hmm.
When he was being excommunicated, but leaving America and heading towards Russia, the director met with Glenn Greenwald. And they had a series of interviews with him when all the big leaks came out with that information. And then the Guardian posted...
Which information? I have no idea who these people are.
You don't know who Edward Snowden is?
Edward Snowden. So he was working for the NSA.
He leaked all the information
about the warrant or the NSA spying on people.
Gotcha.
But Glenn Greenwald was a editor for The Guardian, who published that, and she went with Glenn Greenwald, and they were interviewing Edward Snowden while he was in the process of leaving America and finding a place to go, and he ended up going to Russia. But it, kind of interesting when she was traveling back and forth from America to these different countries to speak with him, with Glenn Greenwald, basically she got put on a terrorist watch list with him, and she, like, anytime she traveled, they would pull her aside and they're like, you were with that Edward Snowden guy, we want you to come do all these extra screenings because, you know, you're in cahoots with this whistleblower, because she was making the documentary about it. So
okay,
I don't think it would win, but
did you like it?
It was interesting. But I'm interested in Edward Snowden, so.
I haven't seen it, but I have to assume Last Days in Vietnam is about somebody's last days in Vietnam.
I'd assume that Salt of the Earth is about iodized salt.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Maybe like a rough guy.
Virunga? I don't even have a guess.
You know what?
African warlords. That's where I'm going with this one. I have no clue.
I'm assuming it's like an old Polynesian boat of legend.
I'm going to go with Citizen Four. I think the NSA thing is something that Oscar voters might go off of. I'm not seeing either of these movies. Any of the five, for that matter. What do you think, Brandon?
I think I'm going to go with Zach on Finding Vivian Maier. You swayed me there.
Yeah, buddy.
I mean, it's not that you didn't sway me. It's just that you haven't seen any of the other four.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I just want to be clear.
But I made a good case,
thanks. It's not that I don't believe in you. Brent?
I don't think Citizen Four would win. I don't know.
I disagree.
Well, evidently.
I don't know the Academy would vote for a whistleblower and a potential enemy of the state in a documentary.
Oh, I disagree, dude. They got a child molester. They gave him best director and best picture.
Yeah, but he's not a whistleblower.
That's true. You got me there. You got me there. Wait a second. Then On the Waterfront win best picture? Dude, that's like a whistleblower of other actors. Yeah, I'm standing by my vote. So what did you think, Brent?
Salt of the Earth, because I have no idea, but I'm sure Salt's really interesting and great for documentary.
Or Down Home People.
Yeah.
Okay. I just assume, based on the name Juliano Ribeiro Salgado, it was about, like, Mexican people.
Yeah, I don't know. I would like to apologize really quick for all the clicking pen noise on this podcast, because that's totally me. And I keep telling myself not to do it, and I cannot stop. Okay, and I did that last year, too. It really bothered me when I listened to it.
I should have learned from last year and not brought clicky pens.
No, it's not your fault. Dude, I love clicky pens like no other. I just don't allow myself to have them during podcasts.
I'm with you.
And I always forget. I'm like, clicky pen. These are good clicky pens, too. They're the Pilot G2. I bought these lots. Okay, best documentary short subject. Anybody know anything?
Nothing, but I have a winner that I feel pretty comfortable with.
Okay. Crisis Hotline?
Even though you don't know anything.
Yes, and here's why. This. You're going to love it because you are very familiar with this theory based on choosing.
Okay.
So the film Our Curse is either directed by or produced by Tomasz Levinsky and Maciej Szlesicki.
Okay.
So I'm assuming Holocaust.
Oh. You know, it's so funny you did that, because I read Kopax and I thought that might be Jewish, and I also assumed that was Kopax.
I saw Kopach and I was like, yeah, this could be it too, but this one had two Eastern European names, so I figured two outweighs one, and it's called Our Curse.
Yeah, you know what, you swayed me on that one. That's the winner as far as I'm concerned. It's so funny we have the same criteria.
Yeah, which one's about the Holocaust?
I still remember Lady Number 6 won last year, because we were going grasping at any straws we had, and Zach was reading off descriptions off of IMDb, and we realized that not only was it, well, we realized it was a Holocaust and about a lady who plays piano. So I'm like, that's it, dude. The Arts and Holocaust, that one, and that swung everybody, I think, but Adrian. And then, after we recorded the podcast, she fucking died.
Yeah.
Like, right as the final ballots like, were going in. And it's like, oh, well,
chisel that there. Right in.
And she won. How about you, Brandon? What do you think's going to win? Which Holocaust
film? I am... It's not the Kopex, because that is Polish, so...
Oh. Well, could be Polish, like, Jewish.
Yeah, but it's not Our Curse.
Okay.
You think that movie has a song, Joanna, in it? Like at the start of it, Joanna.
I was thinking of her name was Joanne. Yeah, anyway, it's Joanna. What do you think, Brent?
Crisis Hotline, Veterans Press 1.
Just because it's about veterans calling.
Just about veterans.
PTSD.
Yeah, and especially because Congress actually just passed something. So
Do we know that's really what it's about? It could be about a guy who says that, who's schizophrenic. Well, we don't know.
That's just the title.
We're just conjecturing. I want to get that out there again. Okay, so achievement in film editing. So it could have gone a lot of ways in this one. I'm going to say Whiplash.
Me too, buddy.
Yeah.
Rolling with you on this one.
Yeah, I'm not going to justify it. I'm just going to say Whiplash.
The editing went a long way in sort of helping visually tell the story, especially in the drumming scenes. It would cut, like cuts would line up with downbeats, which I thought was great. And the way the sort of camera traveled around the drum kit in quick succession with these cuts, I think really added to sort of the visual language of the movie. And because Whiplash got more nominations than I expected, I'm sort of counting on Oscar voters really, really liking it.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm going to go with Whiplash as well.
Well, do we got the sweep?
No, I'm going to go with American Sniper, but...
Okay. I do feel like it had really great editing. I would put it on.
You can make a case for basically all five of these movies.
I was going to finish my sentence. If the ending didn't happen.
Yeah.
And because of that ending.
Which yeah, that I've is a terrible into, ending.
I can't. Like, that'll be number five for me. Because that is a terrible ending. They did not end that movie well. And that's a key thing to film editing. They could have ended that movie before it ended and it would have been fine. Okay, achievement in music written for motion pictures.
Whoa. So we're just skipping over three of these, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Best foreign language film of the year. I'm going to go Ida.
I'm going Ida as well.
None of the rest of them.
It's worth,
I just really liked Ida.
It's worth noting that Ida is the only one of the five that was nominated in any other category.
Right.
So
which is why it's the only one. Yeah.
Now, the only other one I... like have any radar for was
Leviathan.
Yes, because that one won the Golden Globe.
That's right, which is why that would be my number two if we were continuing.
I'm just gonna pencil that in now so I don't have to figure it out later.
So I, for the record, I do have Ida one.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, okay. I don't even know what Leviathan is.
Are we gonna get the sweep?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Ida
too. Yeah,
I have no idea about any of these movies, so
all you have to know is Biggs got number two and or number three in the Myrna Loy voting last year. It's all you got to. If you're in step with me, you're in good shape.
I'm just so proud.
Based off of last year.
I'm so happy that Estonia has a film in consideration that I might put them three just for the feel-good story.
Because they were nominated for a Golden Globe.
They sure were.
So that's where I put them as number three.
Estonia is like leaps and bounds above Mauritania, though. I mean, we're talking a little tiny island.
But that's an island. Like, it's beautiful. It makes sense to me that people would want to make a movie there. It doesn't make sense to me why someone would want to make a movie in Estonia. To go to Estonia?
Because maybe someone was really high and they thought, like, I could get some good weed here.
It's probably
in the name, man.
You probably can. The former Republic... countries in Russia are just a hot mess, so you could probably get some good drugs in Estonia.
There you go. Okay, achievement in makeup and hairstyling. Should be Guardians of the Galaxy, won't be because they never give fantasy movies that award, even though they do the most makeup. I'm going to go with Foxcatcher because they really did transform Steve Carell and make you believe he was this other guy. Now, his mannerisms did that too, but the way they worked with his nose and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think people who like change noses win the Oscars.
And his skin was very mottled. Like there was a lot of subtle stuff in it.
Yep.
That would be my number one. It's actually my number two only because I feel like I can afford to sort of take a throwaway category. And in one that only has three nominees, it may as well be here. I put Guardians of the Galaxy 1, A, because it deserves it, and B, because it would make me really happy.
I agree there, too.
And C, you just never know with some of these people. Like, you just never know. Because, and here's the reason.
You know where they get to win special effects.
That's their big one, yeah. But this one, I just feel like it's a deserved one, and it would make me happy, and I can afford to toss this category.
You know, I actually am going to go with Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
Nice.
But my heart really wants to go to Foxcatcher for one reason and one reason only. Because they made Mark Ruffalo look like me.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah, if only you walked with your arms like hanging.
The wrestler walk.
Yeah, the wrestler pose. You would.
But me standing right next to the Foxcatcher poster, it is creepily eerie.
I had him do it when he came to see it. I was like, right as you guys were about to leave, I was like, no, you gotta come stand here real quick.
Did you take a picture?
No. I took a mental picture. But
you need to take
the poster's still up. We can make it happen.
Yeah, we should make that happen. And the next time we talk about Foxcatcher, that'll be the cover of the
love
podcast.
It. Love it.
All right. Brent, I'm sorry.
I picked Guardians of the Galaxy as number one. Just because, could you imagine having to put on the makeup to be pink? Like for days on set,
dude.
Much great makeup in that movie.
You're preaching to the choir. I just know how Oscar voters.
Yondu's makeup, and he was through it through the whole movie.
And think about
it's
Glenn
not
Close's,
CGI stuff. It's
makeup. And it's Glenn makeup. Close's seat like weird ice cream dip hair. Like, there's so much fun
or
stuff.
Or Drax, like Batista's Drax.
Uh-huh. Putting on all those tattoos every day. Like, the body of work that they put in that movie is phenomenal.
Okay, we got to roll.
Yeah, let's power through these.
Okay, achievement and music written for motion pictures. You can make compelling cases for a lot of these. In the end, I'm going to go with The Imitation Game because it's kind of a classical style music, and I think Oscar voters tend to go for that.
I have the same number one because I feel like... Oh, actually, no, wait. I'm adjusting. And my number one is The Theory of Everything for two reasons.
That's my number two.
That's my number...
the same reason I gave.
That's my number one because the Golden Globe... It won the Golden Globe. It's very classical, likable score. And I would go with Imitation Game or Grand Budapest ahead of it, but they're both by Alexandre Desplat, and I think it splits the... I think he splits his own vote by being in there twice.
You know what?
I think he splits his own vote.
You know what? You just convinced me that it's going to be Theory of Everything. I didn't notice that. So I hope you realize this crazy one that I'm writing is a crazy one.
I'm going to go with Interstellar. Hans Zimmer, he's one of those guys that's always up in the number one, number two slot, so I'm going to go with Hans Zimmer. Brent?
I'm going to go with Hans Zimmer and Interstellar as well. Really good score with that one.
I got news for you guys. It's not going to win. Hans Zimmer is not going to win for Interstellar. It's great. He's not going to win. All right, achievement and music written for motion pictures, original song. If things shake out like I think they're going to shake out, it's going to be Glory because it's the only thing they're going to nominate or give to Selma since they're not going to give
it. And they have to give it something.
God damn it.
Yep, dude. I've got it there as well.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Glory, but my heart really wants to give it to Everything is Awesome. My heart. That's where. Lego Movie needs it.
That's where my heart lies as well.
I like Everything is Awesome, but I actually really did like Glory.
Honestly,
I'd say it's the better song.
But I
like Everything is Awesome, but there's not a lot to Everything is Awesome.
No, there's not. No, there's not. But it's a very fun song. Plus, there's something...
Oh, yeah, it's the funnest song that's ever been up for the Oscars,
I think. If hypothetically it won an Oscar, just hearing that song play while someone grabs an Oscar, like, isn't that your dream? To have someone just singing Everything is Awesome while you hold your first Oscar?
Don't they always do the thing where they perform every song?
They perform them all throughout
the
show.
That's going to be interesting.
Yep. I'm really excited.
That's going to be really interesting.
I picked Glory, but I don't think I've heard any of these songs, actually, so I don't know.
Okay. Achievement and production design. Now, that's like the sets, right?
Yep, set design.
Well, this sounds like something they'd give to a musical, so I'm going to go Into the Woods.
This is one... Into the Woods would be my number two. Either that or Interstellar, but I would go Into the Woods.
Interstellar is incredible.
My number one is Grand Budapest Hotel. Like, that seems like such a Oscar choice.
That's my
like,
it
makes sense to me. That they would go there.
I'm going to go with Zach. I'm going to go with Grand Budapest Hotel. This is where production design shines. So.
I'm going with Into the Woods on this one for production.
Ooh, we got a split vote.
I think we all agree that those are the two front runners, though, yeah?
Yeah. Okay, best animated short film. I'm not going to guess any of these. However, I saw Feast, and it's fucking delightful, dude. And actually, I think you might have seen Feast as well. I think it was at the start of Big Hero 6. So it's like this dog that gets fed all this stuff by his owner, and he gets fed all these various things.
He finds a
woman, and she starts like giving the dog healthy stuff that the dog doesn't like, and putting a little fig of stuff in there. And the dog hates it. And then one day he's happy because he gets like a big old sloppy thing of meatballs again.
Because
and then looks up and the woman's gone. And so he runs off out of the house and the guy's got to chase and runs into the woman. And they kind of like have a reckoning. And then the dog is finally happy at the end because they have a baby who constantly drops shit on the floor. But it's done like it reminds me of like classic Disney, like great Disney, like in the old days, minus the racism. So that's why I'm going to pick at number one.
You know, I'm actually going to step out of turn just because Zach's still riding. I'm going to go with you on that. And watching that one, there was a lot going on, and it reminded me of the sequence in the movie Up, where there wasn't a word said, but there were tears, because it was just such a powerful piece of
cinema. Dude, it made all three of us a little bit teary, like me and my daughter and my wife. So, yeah, it easily number one for me. I haven't seen any of the other four, so I don't know.
I am going with Feast for the reasons you guys mentioned, as well as I haven't seen any of them, and I'm required by the rules of this game to choose something.
Yeah, and never doubt Marvel.
Yeah, true that.
Because it was at the start of a Marvel movie.
Or Pixar,
for that matter.
I haven't seen any of these, so I'm going to go with The Damn Keeper, because...
Why not?
Yeah, why not? He keeps it goddamn, so...
All right, best live-action short film. Now, as it turns out, I saw The Phone Call. I didn't remember that I saw The Phone Call, but it was the one thing in that fucking... I sat through the Sundance thing... For no other reason other than, like, I wanted a leg up on this. And so now I know without a doubt that shit is not going to win.
Yeah. So,
that's my only insight. So why not Aya? I think it's Aya's year, guys.
I went with Parvana.
You know, I also, like, just reading this, like, nonsensical words almost. Because I'm just going to list them off real quick. Aya, Boogaloo and Graham.
Boogaloo Butter. Graham is fucked. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Butter Lamp, Parvana, and The Phone Call. No,
read the whole thing for Butter Lamp.
Butter Lamp, La Lamp Arbor de Yacht.
That one I almost picked number one because a lot of foreign language.
By the way, I would just like to say that there's six words in the parenthetical. I guarantee you there's a word in there that means something other than butter or lamp. I guarantee it.
It's yak.
All right. Brent?
I'm going to go with Boogaloo and Graham because, you know, why not?
Because it's a shitty name. And these people are watching these screeners. They're reading the titles. All right. Achievement in sound editing. So we got American Sniper, Birdman, The Hobbit, Interstellar, and Unbroken. I think that they're going to hand it to Interstellar for this. It's not that the sound editing is super great, but it's just like, I just have a feeling. I don't know.
They gave it to Gravity, so it's the same thing as Gravity, so let's go that way.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like most of the technical awards are going to go to Interstellar, and it deserves it. I mean, I would also love Birdman. That'll probably be my number two. I could make a case for that now that I think about it, but yeah, I think it'll be Interstellar.
I went with American Sniper as my number one and Interstellar as my number two, only because you can make a pretty good case for at least four of these, and when in doubt in a sound category, go with something with a lot of guns is always my motto, and it's carried me well.
Well, then you gotta have Unbroken for your next one.
No, I sure don't, because Unbroken is not nominated in the next category.
All right.
Oh no, yes it is. I just misread. But that's not the one I'm going with anyway.
Cause I said.
No, because I know which one I think's gonna win that one.
Alright, Brent.
I'm gonna go with Birdman for sound editing.
Okay. Alright, now I got a quick question for you. Who votes on the achievement in sound mixing?
Sound mixers.
Just sound mixers?
Yeah. Categories are voted on by the people the awards are for.
In that case, I'm picking Birdman as the winner just because of what they did with the drums.
See, I went with a different movie for the same reason.
The one with the drums?
I went with Whiplash because of what they did with the drums.
Yeah, fair enough. That'll be my number two.
I'm going to go with the one with the drums. Being Whiplash.
Got to go with the drums, so Whiplash for sure.
Nice.
So I went with the drum. I gave the first reason.
No, no,
I
was okay.
The only you one that picked Birdman.
That's you funny. Went with the drums, and we went with the drums. It's so obvious. It's
you know
simple.
You know what's hilarious about this? All
I'm
three
just
of us.
That everybody disagreed with me, but they all everybody had the same reason.
Yeah.
You know what I think is really interesting about this? The three of us that picked Whiplash are not sound editors. Alex being the one that does all the sound editing for all of the podcasts here. Went in a completely different direction.
I went with the different direction for one reason and one reason only. And I didn't notice it, but Zach's brother Connor went off about how they bounced the drums into each different speaker.
That's what I was talking about with Whiplash. That's why I chose it. Because Whiplash is the one that would loop around you.
Oh, was it Whiplash?
Uh-huh.
I thought I said that and I was wrong.
No, because remember you watched Birdman and the Myrna with me. With the surround sound.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't notice it in either of them.
Did you watch Whiplash with surround sound?
I mean, did you guys have it in surround sound? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, we
then,
did.
Yeah, I didn't notice it either time.
I thought you watched Whiplash at home. Or am I misremembering?
No, I would never watch it at home. Why would I do that?
Didn't you get sent the screener? I thought you got sent the screener.
Because you're in the Academy.
I watched it at the Lloyd, remember? I just didn't notice.
In any case, one of the ones with the drums is going to win.
Well, if I got those mixed up, it's consensus here. So you're going to have to remember that giant one and two, okay?
Okay, deal.
It's on a recording.
Now watch Birdman win after we swayed you.
I'll let it go because I had reasoning.
Yeah.
Okay. For achievement visual
this
effects.
This is a stacked category.
So I'm torn between Interstellar and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. But when I think back to Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, I kind of think that's going to be the winner.
That's what I'm thinking as well.
The motion capture is incredible.
Especially because this is one where, unlike the last Planet of the Apes, where it was motion capture with one character, this was a cast of motion captured characters.
Yeah,
like that alone I think vaults it up. So I'm saying I agree.
Anybody else?
Guardians.
I'm gonna try Guardians. And give my love for Guardians on this one.
Okay. Adapted screenplay, we got American Sniper, The Imitation Game, Inherent Vice,
Theory of Everything, and Whiplash.
Somebody else have an opinion on this?
I'm taking Whiplash.
I'm going to go with Whiplash. I have this feeling that American Sniper is going to try and take this one, but it shouldn't.
No, it shouldn't.
Mm-mm.
You know what? Because of that twist at the end, I'm going to go with Imitation Game. And then I'm going to put Whiplash in number two.
I'm going with Theory of Everything for the adaptation category. And then Whiplash number two.
Okay. Original screenplay. This is our very last one, so we're going to do all five here. We got Birdman, Boyhood, Foxcatcher, Grand Budapest Hotel, and Nightcrawler. Okay, let me put this out there really fast, okay? Nightcrawler, to me, is a great written thing. I don't think the Oscars are going to hand it to it because this is the first time you heard Nightcrawler. Mm-hmm. I don't think they like this movie.
It is worth noting, however, though, the time movies that the Academy generally doesn't like wins is typically in screenplay, like Into the Loop won 1 year, which was not nominated for anything else. So I agree with you in principle, but I think if there's any category that'll buck that trend, it's screenplay.
Okay. So I'm going reverse order here. At number four, I got Boyhood because it is not written well. I'm sorry, but it's just not. It's a great movie. It is what it is. Number three, I got Foxcatcher. I could see them honoring Foxcatcher through this, but I think more likely it's going to be the Grand Budapest Hotel or Birdman. If your theory holds correct, it's going to be Grand Budapest Hotel that wins where they finally hold Wes Anderson, which I very well could see. But I just don't think that they can overlook theater,
agreed,
acting, movies, which is why I've got Birdman as number one.
I'll go 5-1 as well. I have Boyhood 5 for the reasons you mentioned. I have Grand Budapest 4. Not for any particular reason. It just happened. Basically, Grand Budapest is only 4 because I wanted Nightcrawler at number 2. Which is, you know, that like that's the only reason. Foxcatcher's my number 3 and Birdman's my number 1.
I have Boyhood 5, Foxcatcher 4, Budapest 3, Nightcrawler 2, and Birdman 1.
Do we want to do our tiebreakers real quick?
We got a quick decision here, guys.
Brent, what do you got?
Nightcrawler 5, Foxcatcher 4, Grand Budapest Hotel 3, Birdman 2, and Boyhood 1.
We got a quick decision to make, and we're going to put this on the podcast as a decision so that the listeners understand. We have two options here. We can either talk about these Razzies here.
Uh-huh.
And talk about that and talk about Spider-Man and anything else we want for another hour and hold off box office battle till the next time and put this episode in the slot of box office battle and explain at the beginning what's going on so that, you know, we got a month.
Yes, agreed.
Or we can just put a pin in this and not finish it and not talk about Spider-Man.
I think we need to.
I really want I to like talk option about Spider-Man. A.
Okay.
And so, there's more. There's something I wanted to talk about tonight. So.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to put a pin in this. Go to the box office battle. If you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and subscribe. We will finish this conversation. We're going to talk about Razzie winners. We're going to talk about Spider-Man, probably some other stuff. And then we'll see you on Skies again next Sunday. Take it easy. I'm not going to respect that outro.
You're really going to put it in there?
Yeah. Magic of editing. Hand me an Oscar.
Hey man, thanks for coming out to meet me. I've just been so down lately.
No problem, man. What's the matter?
It's so hard to talk about. My batting average isn't quite what it used to be.
Your batting average?
My drive shaft doesn't have the kind of torque I'm looking for, if you catch my drift.
So you're feeling some depression from your erectile dysfunction?
Some. I'm only feeling depression from my erectile dysfunction.
You know, it's something that helps me is the Not Safe for Network.
The Not Safe for Network? What's that?
Not Safe for Network.
Side effects include rule birds, best available, you have a good life, Montauk Skies, Fox Office Battle, Thin Men, and shooting the show. Do not take Not Safe for Network if you're on Cialis, Viagra, On Legend, or Comedy Central commercials at 4 a.m.
Not Safe for Network.
Wow. My whole world is new. Thanks, Not Safe for Network.
Not Safe for Network. Putting the function back in erectile dysfunction.
Not Safe for Network.